cliffcentral.com. Unbranded on cliffcentral.com.
This is Nomdeni standing in for Timothy again on Unbranded. This is really, really cool. And I'm freaking out a little bit because I see the big bosses here and I had no idea I was going to really get the interview going today. But in any case, let me fill you up on what has happened since the last time I was here. So obviously last week, I was panicking and I was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to pull off talking to myself for a full hour. And Palis was sitting next to me, giggling the entire time, patting me down, saying, you've got it, you're okay. Literally, I remember at the beginning of the show, there was no music and I was like, I cannot do this without music, Palis. I really need that background music. And I think after I got that through, that really helped a lot. So why am I here again? So it's actually hilarious. When I left the show, I got a text from one of my friends who was like, show was amazing. I was listening to it. Let me give you a breakdown and let me give you tips of what you can do again. Number one, stop saying cool so much. When I listened to the podcast, though, I think I said cool two or three times. And I thought I probably was saying it in each and every sentence, but there's so many other notes that she gave me and feedback that was really, really positive, which I think, or at least I hope, I will use today to make the podcast better. I went back home. I got obviously a lot of feedback that was amazing. And I just thought, well, people who follow me are always super nice to me. And I have a lot of activity on Instagram because I feel like I always say to Zinta, I'm so scared of Twitter. I feel like you do one thing wrong on Twitter and the whole world comes after you. So I have a lot of activity on Instagram. I'm getting my Twitter following up. I think I have about 5,800 people following me now, but I'll definitely be putting through a lot of content there. I'm following people now who I think share the same kind of values as me. I'm looking at how they are putting out their content on Twitter, so I'll definitely be engaging a little bit more then. I've also have a page on Facebook where I started getting an influx of just messages and DMs. One of them was from a girl called Sarah, who has actually helped in setting up the Edits Talks, because I have an offline conversation which I curate every month called Edits Talks, and we normally bring in volunteers, and I've literally have the most amazing girls coming through to help. I've built such a solid relationship with them and they follow me on social media and they're always commenting and we're always having conversations back and forth. One of those girls is Sarah. So Sarah sent me a message saying she downloaded the podcast and she listened to it back to back and she found it so inspiring. And the entire time I was just going off and just blabbering and talking about things that are in my head. So when she sent me that, I was really, really touched, because I know she follows a lot of conversations that I curate and she comes through to all the talks and she literally comments on everything that I put out on social media. And something sparked. I was like, and literally it was a tease. I put it out and I actually sent it to Timothy first before I put it on social media. And I said to him, I'm going to put this out because I never want to put anyone in an awkward situation. And I know I have a very engaged audience. And if I put something out like that, I know they'll be talking back. So I sent it to him and I'm like, I'm totally going to put this out. I think you definitely need a co-host now, because it would also just be great to be co-hosting versus hosting by myself. And that's how I was feeling at the time, because I was just afraid of blabbering and going on and on and on for a full hour. And I think he sent me some cute message. Timothy is always kind to me and he is almost motivating in a way that I can't quite figure out sometimes. So I get the things that he says to me maybe like 3 months or 4 months or 6 months later, and I'm like, oh, that's what you were talking about. Why were you not just direct? He likes deciphering messages when he sends through stuff to me. So I was like, okay, this is not good enough. I'm totally going to post it. So I put up this post on my social media and I explained the whole story like I always do. I'm like, I sent this to Timothy and I was telling him that he needs to co-host. If you guys agree with me, tag him, DM him, harass him, let him know that this definitely needs to happen. And I was freaking out. I was totally freaking out because I thought I would get like 2 comments and no one will talk back to me. And I was like, okay, let me set a benchmark for myself. Let me just say I need 50 comments, then I will let this go. And I posted it around 9 p.m. Definitely not a good time to get the best engagement, but I normally post like that. I think social media, it really is one of those places where authenticity and putting out content as you feel it, as you think about it. I normally get the best engagement when I do that. So I posted it anyway. And I don't know if it was 2 hours later and we were on 50 comments and I was totally excited and I could go to sleep. And I was like, okay, something that could have totally gone down, totally south, worked out. So at the time, I also knew that Timothy was flying to Cape Town. So I knew that when he opened his phone, he would get like an influx of messages. And I know his social media is not busy, so I knew I would get his attention. So that is why I'm back here. That is why I decided to then speak about the power of social media to really drive brand influence. Because I feel like this is a great story, looking at what has happened with me returning onto this platform. And really, I think a lot of people who might bump into this podcast in the future, who I didn't literally put out a manifesto to listen today, will not even know who I am. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not someone who is in the public eye. And a lot of people who know my voice, who know what I have to say, who know my thoughts, are people who follow me on social media. So I want to start this conversation by defining what influence is, right? So according to Wikipedia, influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. I've always, when I started conversation around influence, because I also run an agency called Edis Communications, and social media has changed how we speak and communicate to consumers. And one of our biggest joy is creating influencer campaigns. And I recently was at Danon and they had asked me to have a conversation with them around what influencer marketing is. And every time I go into those conversations, I always want to explain what influence is first. I also have a good friend, her name is Gugu Ngabinde, and we got on a impulse conversation around what is influence and what are the different tiers of influence. I won't go into that too much. I just want to speak about the word influence. I've given you the Wikipedia explanation of what influence is, but I always make this example to just break it down a little bit. I always think about the communities where we grew up, right? And before we're exposed to, at the time, social media, which gives off my age, because literally when we were growing up, I think I got my first phone when I was in grade 10 today. It was standard 8 then. So our worlds were very, very small. And influence was literally, the most influential person was probably the person in your school that you looked up to, or the person that lived down the road from you who had the kind of lifestyle that you thought you wanted or that you aspired to. So I literally make this example with the car, for instance, because in our community, there's this thing which I've literally fallen off from around growing up, getting a job, maybe moving into townhouse, maybe getting a car, definitely getting a car. And most of the time, those decisions around what we do and how we do it are influenced by the people that we see around us. So if the most popular person in your community or the most respected person in your community was driving a BMW, suddenly BMW became the car that was associated with power and influence and success. So that could have been your first experience of influence. So often we think of influence as something big, something like a celebrity that has maybe 1 million followers, or a celebrity that we see on television a lot. And I'll keep saying celebrity because that is literally what is shoved down our throats most of the time in television. I don't know. I feel like the media industry has kind of become very, very, I don't want to use the word lazy because it sounds bad, but just the kind of content that is constantly pushed through mainstream television is very similar. It's a celebrity interview, celebrity's life. So that is another tier of influence that I think we get exposed to as we get more into television. And I say that because when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch anything that had an age restriction. So literally, I was very limited in what I could see on television. Having understood now what influence is from a Wikipedia explanation, and just from an explanation that I think I've gathered from my experience looking at how to define influence, I want to talk about where influence lies, right? And where maybe my influence lies, because I'm going to speak from a very personal perspective, telling the story of how I think I ended up having to come here to host a second show using social media and the people that follow me there. I think I should have about 28,000 people following me on Instagram. And maybe the question is, how did I get to that number? And where does my influence lie? At the beginning of this year, I had an interview with Timothy where I spoke about something that had happened, an evolution that I'd gone through, and I'd used social media to really express that journey for myself and share it with other people. I had no idea what it would mean for my voice in the community that I've curated on social media, and in just an outside community, because it had extended to an offline conversation that really started as an online expression of what I was going through, what I was feeling, what was in my head. At the beginning of the year, I was going through just a lot of things. As a woman, I'm 32 this year, so a lot of things happen around that age. If you're younger than that, you haven't gone through it. But as you go through what I've now termed, through a friend of mine, the Jesus years, and I'll explain that later, and maybe I'll put that out on my Instagram. Follow me on @NomDaini, and I'll put up actually what the term the Jesus year means. When I came into 2016, turning 32 in July, I just had a lot of questions about what matters, you know, what I want my story to be about. Not even just a legacy conversation, but just a personal conversation about how do I want to live my life? What is my best life? And my first post, I remember, said, in an effort to become wise, I'm going to share wisdom. And I had no idea what that would turn out to be. And I put out my first quote, and people started engaging. It was very low at the beginning, but by the time I got to the 30th day, I had gotten such great energy from my following. It had increased at the time. And the irony of it all is, I've always been that girl who has been absolutely obsessed with inspiration, who has been absolutely obsessed with making myself better, making my life better, curating conversations around how people can make their lives better. But I'd never gotten the courage to actually put it out onto my social media and use it to drive a conversation outside of my small circles. When I did that, it was an affirmation for me that people do want to have better lives. Because every time I had conversations with people talking about, I want to have a voice around inspiration, I want to have a voice around sharing what I've learned, everyone would say to me, people don't buy into that. People are obsessed about celebrity. People are obsessed about rumors. People are obsessed about trash television. People are obsessed about trash media. And that had been discouraging over the years. And I'd always shied away from then starting an authentic conversation that helps people be better. When I did that, I rediscovered the power of authenticity and the results of connecting with people from a point that was, I guess, true, honest, and vulnerable. And that is how I feel that my influence started building within the social media space. And that was just the beginning of everything that unfolded after that. Now, the question I often get from people when I tell the story is, then how do I find out what my authentic self is, or what is authentic to me? And this has been a very interesting journey for me, because it requires a lot of courage, and it requires you being vulnerable to failing. Even when I put out this post about coming back and Timothy co-hosting, I literally always, when I put out a post where I need engagement back, or I'm requesting engagement back, have a mini panic attack, because I'm just like, will people care? Will they take the time out to respond to anything that I have to say? Because as big as my following is, I still don't think people care what I have to say until they actually say something back to me. And most of the time, when I'm not paying attention, I get the most amazing engagement. And when I do, I think because I'm waiting literally and I'm responding to everything, I'm literally having a panic attack. So I think the first thing in discovering who you are and what your voice is, especially within the social media sphere, is you have to be open to failing. You have to be open to people criticizing you. You have to be open to people saying, this is not for me. And that is the beginning of then figuring out who you are and how comfortable you are with expressing that to the best of your capability. Now, the first thing is you have to understand that you have to try. You have to try. And in an effort of trying, there will be moments where you will fail. But when you're trying from an authentic perspective, what is failure after all? You know, how do I fail in being myself? Really? How do I fail in putting up something that inspires me? How do I fail in talking about how a yellow chair inspires me? How the color yellow speaks to me? Because this is what you need to understand. Nothing is for everyone. Absolutely nothing is for everyone. And in creating engagement on your social media platforms, you should never be thinking about necessarily numbers, but think more about the authenticity of the conversation that you're curating, the passion that you have around that conversation, because believe me, there are other people out there who are just as passionate about the things that you are passionate about. And what you need to understand is when you are starting a conversation on social media, you are not just starting a conversation, you're building a community. And a community, it doesn't have to be a million people in the room. It can be 10 people in the room who are really, really passionate about what you have to say. And there can be so many amazing things that will come from the conversations with 10 people, because that's how networks are built. You know, it's a conversation between two people who then say, hey, let's find out if there's another two people who are interested in what we're interested in. And then you find out there's two more people, and then those two more people know 10 other people, and then those 10 other people know 20 other people. And 2 months, 3 months, 10 months down the line, there's a community of 10 million people who are talking about the same thing. And somewhere along the line, you also discover that someone has started really this conversation, and it's something that you can jump on. And then you suddenly have an audience of a million more people who you were not privy to, because maybe they're not people in your immediate circle, they're not people in your environment, they're not people in your community. But that's the beauty with social media. You start connecting with people who you've never even met. You start connecting with people who are in different countries. I can tell you, I have followers from Nigeria, I have followers from Kenya, I have followers from North America, I have followers from Canada. So that's why I always, maybe if you're South African and you look at how much explaining I do, it's because I always speak from a perspective of understanding that I'm not only talking to a South African, I'm talking to someone who's in Nigeria who doesn't know who maybe Casper is, or doesn't know who Oskido is. So I always am wary in trying to explain my and paint the picture of where I am, and do that in a way that allows someone who's never been in Africa or who's never been in my community and never been in Joburg to get a clearer perspective of where I come from. So you need to run away from the perfection trap. I gave a talk about the perfection trap to one of the agencies that I work with, and I was really saying brands need to move away from the perfection trap. And when I say brands, I'm talking about corporate brands and I'm talking about personal brands. And this conversation is more directed to personal brands, because that's where the power of your social media influence will come from. You need to run away from the perfection trap. You need to run away from thinking that everything will happen the way that you think it will happen. And authenticity is never perfect, because how do we gauge perfection and authenticity? Because authenticity is always unique. It's always an expression of something new. It's always an expression of something maybe that exists, but in a new form. So never ever think that there will be perfection around how you take you send out content into the social media sphere. And I am one to speak on perfection, because I am literally a perfectionist. I want everything to be aligned. I want all the dots to connect. I want everything to be crossed. And building a conversation around social media has done so much for me in also learning a lot more about who I am. And I think I've gotten better in just not being perfect. I still try and have like some kind of sequence on my social media, but I also just try and run away from it now and again, and not even consciously, just because sometimes there's going to be thoughts that come through to my head and I'm like, this is something that has touched me, maybe it will touch other people. And I never shy away from sharing information. And there is power really in failing, because you discover so much about yourself when you fail. Failure has taught me so much about my power. I always say to young people when I do the edits talks, I hope you fail very, very young, because then you'll be able to have more years where you can come back and do better and be better. I think when you fail when you're older, it's much more traumatic than when you fail when you're younger, because when you're older, you've built this character. You know, you've built this persona, you've built these expectations around how you do things, and you're telling everyone that you're the best. And listen, that was me at some point until I failed. And my failures came a little late. You know, I don't remember a devastating failure any time before probably I turned 29, 28. And guys, it was absolutely devastating. And that was just the beginning. I think after that, I've had so many other failures. But the great thing with all the other failures that came after that is that they taught me who I am. So as you go into the social media sphere in defining who you are, sharing content that excites you, always know that there'll be moments where you feel like you're failing because maybe the kind of audience that you want to build is not coming together. And really, the content might not necessarily build the following, and maybe the strategy around the content is then what builds the following. And maybe the next question would be, why do I think people care about what I have to say? And this is the thing that you guys need to understand. In this day and age, everyone is a media company. When you look at how the media companies operate and you look at what social media has done in allowing us to publish content, you need to go into that space understanding that you're a media company. So when you look at media companies, let me make an example maybe. When you look at OWN, right, which is a media, it's a network that is built on pushing out inspiring content, pushing out content that makes you better, pushing out content that will allow you to dig deeper and really rediscover who you are. And you look at a channel maybe like Vuzu, which really is normally distributing what they call trash content in whichever way you want to define it, which is really entertaining content around people's lives, what they're doing, how they're failing. I'm really bad at looking at people fail on TV, so that's normally not the space where I would find content that speaks to me. But there is a difference in these two. Well, one is a channel, one is a network, but the agendas are different. The intention in the content that they're sending out is totally different. And that is the same way that you need to look at yourself when you start building content for your social media. You are a media company. I remember the first edit talk that we did, there was a girl who stood up and asked how can she start building her cooking company. She loves cooking, and everyone around her that was sitting around her was literally nodding the entire time when she was talking about how much she loves cooking. And I remember going to her Instagram page and her social media page after that conversation and looking at what she posts. There was absolutely nothing about cooking. Zero content around cooking. And I remember I literally made an effort to find her and just sit down with her and express to her how much power she has in literally just having a handle on social media. Gives you so much power in how much you can drive around what interests you. And there's so many people paying attention. I have 27,000 followers, but I never have 2,000 comments. But I can tell you, there are people coming onto my page all the time, looking at what I'm saying, looking at how I'm saying it, and literally not commenting. Last week, I sent out my profile, my business profile for 2016 to a couple of brand people, couple of agencies, and almost half of them were like, we're following you on social media, we're looking at what you're doing, we're really excited about how you're thinking about content, how you're thinking about influence, how you're thinking about engagement, just from a personal perspective, but also from an influencer's perspective and a marketer's perspective. It's really interesting how you are pushing out content. None of them ever comment on anything that I ever say. So I need you to be conscious of this minor fact. When you have content that you're pushing out, when you have content that interests you and you decide to pushing out, believe me, there are many, many, many people that are going to start following you, and sometimes just observing, and sometimes they'll be trolling, and sometimes that is the person that will talk to the person that will call you for a job, seeing content from your social media. So I was really dumbfounded by this young girl who has all this power in her hands and doing nothing about it. If I loved cooking, my entire Instagram feed would be food. and it won't even be plates that I'm making. Sometimes it will be plates that inspire me. Sometimes it will be chefs that I'm following. When you look at Jamie Oliver's page, I think he has more than 1 million followers now, and he's found so many ways to drive a cooking conversation. You look at Jay Something, for instance, that whole revolution, that foodie revolution that's going on, this is the best time. There aren't enough faces around the food revolution and the foodie conversation. If you're a foodie, you should have food all over your Instagram page. You should have lifestyle around how people come together in conversation and food. There's so many things that you can push out. Literally, the meal that you make in the every day, you eat every day, you make the meal every day. Taking just a photo of that and putting it out and run away from perfection, it doesn't have to be a perfect photo until you get to a point where you've learned how to have a perfect image. And I see this all the time. People come and to me and they're like, oh, but your page is so pretty. Oh, but this and that. This is why I can't do it. This is when you look back at my very first picture on Instagram and my picture on Instagram now, totally two different worlds. But you must never stop because you're still trying to figure out how to make it perfect. Just start. Just start. You would be surprised at how many people will connect with what you're sending out. And you are the main character of the story. Social media is a blank canvas. When you open an Instagram, Facebook, Twitter account, it's a blank canvas. You hold the pen. You are the one who decides what goes out. Never fall. This is another trap that people fall into. You think because everyone is being trashy and people are engaging them on the trash that they're putting out, that's social media. Social media is not about being trashy. There might be a lot of trashy people. We live in a big world. Not everyone is the same. Some people are amazing. Some people are not. There's a lot of trashy people. What you're exposed to is what will become your reality. I don't have negativity on any of my pages because I don't follow negative people. And when people come onto my page and try and spread some negativity, I block you. I literally block you. I have no time for negativity at all. This is my room. This is my space. I get to decide who comes in and who I get to have a conversation with. So you'll never find me in a space where I'm like, oh, I see so much negativity on social media. There's so much trash on social media. At any point where I am experiencing negativity on social media, I went and I found the hashtag around a trend that was negative and I got consumed in it and I spiraled down and I got depressed and I was going on and on about, oh, how negative was that? But it never came to me. I literally went out and found it because I curate my conversation on social media. So you need to understand that you are in charge. You are the one driving the conversation, and feel free to figure things out. Feel free to start negative and then maybe go into a space where you eventually figure out what your positive space is and own your conversation.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to, that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome back to Unbranded with Nom Ndeni. I think that sounds cool. I think it sounds so much better than Unbranded with Timothy Maurice. So maybe let's say Unbranded with Timothy Maurice and Nom Ndeni. Timothy, I'm giving you all the options. Really, you can choose what you go with, but my name is available for all the options. So coming back to our conversation around how social media can help you create brand influence. I'm actually looking at my Instagram and I'd asked people to send me some questions that they would like me to answer. I see some people are saying, oh, you've answered my question already, so I'm not going to ask anymore. This is, for instance, Notando was like, wanted me to answer how to start when things have to look so perfect in social media. How do you keep it real without having the pressure to be perfect? So I think I've spoken about that. You know, I've spoken about the perfection trap and how people need to run away from it. I'm going to give you at the end of this conversation some people that I follow, some platforms that I look at that will help you understand how to build a community and where to start. And this is the first example, maybe whilst I'm on this conversation around perfection. When I was in New York recently, I spent 5 weeks in New York on work, and I discovered so many people who are on social media building brands, making money, and literally getting paid billions and billions of dollars, which is how I would like to get paid. If anyone is listening, I would love to get paid in dollars and not so much rands. Perez Hilton, I understand, is getting over $1 billion check a year for just the blog that he owns, that he runs. As much as it was really about his opinion about celebrities, what they're doing, where they are, he really made it work at a time when it wasn't such a popular thing on social media, and he's making a lot of money around it. Back to the perfection trap, there's a girl on YouTube. I need you to write this down. I need you guys to look at her first video. Two people actually on YouTube. And I'm going to try and vlog a little bit more. I think I mentioned this last time as well. First person who really was not influenced by the perfection model around social media is Gary Vaynerchuk. I think anyone who's an entrepreneur and doesn't know Gary Vaynerchuk is not paying enough attention around an entrepreneurship conversation around the world. Gary Vaynerchuk on Instagram is at Gary V. On Twitter, I think, is also at Gary V. On Facebook, I'm not sure who he is, but he has a channel on YouTube. I think it's called Gary V of Gary Vaynerchuk. He also just launched a book called #AskGaryV, which I thought was so smart, and I'm still jealous. I think I will just copy it and just be like #AskNamdeni or whatever. Gary, his very, very first video on YouTube, he talks about it literally when he starts his latest book. The sound was bad. He looked horrible. And it was about the wine library, because at the time his parents owned a wine company, and he was trying to figure out how they can market the wine and how they can drive a conversation around education. So every day he would have a wine that he would review, which is a brilliant idea if you have a wine company. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's not rocket science, guys. It is absolutely not rocket science. Anything that intrigues you, you want to talk about. Anything that intrigues you is the first thing you see in the room. If you're a person who's interested in deco, you walk into a room and you look at the layout. If you're a person that's interested in pastries, anytime there's an event and there's a pastry set up, or there's a cookie, or there's anything like that, that's the conversation you're most inclined to get pulled into. Anything that already interests you is where you're conversation starts, and it can change later. You know, you don't have to then be now stuck in another trap where you're like, this is who I'm about and I'm never ever going to change. Over time, Gary decided that wine might not be his thing. Maybe digital is his thing. He now owns a company called VaynerMedia, and now his conversations around entrepreneurship as a whole, because he comes from a family of entrepreneurs and he started working at a very young age, and really he expresses his opinions about entrepreneurship. I don't agree with half of them. I don't agree with half of his methodologies, because he's really, really aggressive, and I'm not pulled to that kind of delivery when it comes to content. But I really, really do enjoy the way that he's figured out how to get his conversation into the digital sphere and into communities where people are interested in entrepreneurship, and have people even who are not inclined to his style of delivery still paying attention, because I follow him on all of his platforms. I have his book because I was lucky enough to get it gifted by Gary V himself. Yay. And still, at the beginning, he was not someone I was going to get pulled into. But the more I paid attention to what he had to say, because he's literally in your face, I became a fan. And I'm not a fan of his delivery, but I'm definitely a fan of his content. The second person I want you to pay attention to when we talk about the perfection trap and who really escaped it and has made such a big name for themselves is a girl called Shameless Maya. Her first video was, I think, in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. And literally, she stood in front of the camera and she said, I am tired of people who are not doing a great job constantly blagging their trashy work. I am very, very good at what I do, but I struggle to talk about it because that's what normally happens with people who are really, really good at what they do. And that's another trap in itself. Now you're brilliant. Now you scrutinize everything. Now you don't want to be part of a community where you maybe feel like they're not as good as you. You are constantly now benchmarking yourself around other people who are coming up. Oh, every other person in Joburg is doing PR, so I'm not going to brand myself as a PR person. But in all honesty, you absolutely love PR. It's a matter of just you saying what you want to say in your own voice. Shameless Maya came out and she was like, I'm great at content creation. I'm great as an AV girl. I'm great in production. I'm great in shooting content. And I'm going to challenge myself to talk about it every day. She launched her channel on YouTube called Shameless Maya. I think to date she's received more than 400 million views on the channel, and every day for 365 days she made an effort to put out a video. I love daily challenges, and I think yesterday someone posted when I put up something that said happiness is, and they said something around challenging themselves daily to do something better. I'm actually going to find it because I really want to make an example around these daily challenges and how they can help you become better and how they force you every day to pay attention to making yourself better. Just underscore call me underscore Delish on my post that said happiness is, which was actually yesterday, said happiness is... Let us see. She spoke to me a couple of times. I thought I had found it. Let us see. She mentioned something around, I'm not finding it now, but she mentioned something around a daily challenge that she'd given herself. And even though she fails, because she has the next day to try again, it just makes it a little bit easy. And I think that was my journey as well with 30 Days of Awakening. I knew I had to put out something every day. I knew I had to put out content every day. And it became such a great way for me to grow, such a great way for me to build my community, and such a great way for me to push out authentic content. Shameless Maya went the same route. She decided that every day she would challenge herself to talk about herself, talk about her business, talk about the things that she's encountering in her environment, the challenges of building a business like that. And look at where she is now. She's literally getting paid so much money for all the content that she's sending out. She's getting, she's creating partnerships with so many different brands. And still, her channel is called Shameless Maya and is true and authentic to who she is. She's become really, really shameless. There's one episode where she literally cuts her hair in front of the camera and she shares that. There's another amazing episode where she lost her grandmother and she talks about the pain of that loss, because her channel has now become not just about her work, but it's become really a true reflection of everything that she goes through. So, Notando, that's how you run away from the perfection trap. You decide that you're going to do something beyond all the crazy voices in your head that say you're not good enough, it's not good enough, look at what Zintle posted, oh my gosh, she's so amazing, oh my gosh, she has a photographer. You're not trying to speak to Zinta's audience. You're trying to speak to your personal audience. You're trying to speak to people who care about what you have to say. Another question that came through is, how do we measure social media influence? That's very interesting. And the fact that it came from Gabelo, who is obviously a person who is an environment that has to do with branding, that's the big question in marketing right now. How do we value social media influence? And I'll talk about that at the end of this conversation, because I'll give you tools that I pay attention to. And every day there's new tools that are coming out where people are looking at how to measure the social media engagement and its effectiveness, especially for brands. But that's also a topic for an entirely different day, because today I want to talk to you personally around how you build personal brand influence using social media. So I am now going to transition to cyber health feature with Renette from Safety Net Cyber Safety to bring you tips on how to be responsible digital citizens.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much. It's such a great day today, because I get extremely excited, and I know most people don't, but just hear me out. I get extremely excited when there are events with information, specifically studies on the use of internet and the state of children's behavior online. So thank you so much for joining the Cyber House feature. I'm Rianette Leibowitz from SafetyNet Cyber Safety. I'm actually at an event today where Facebook and the Department of Justice is launching a report which was created to really give us a nice overview of the situation in South Africa on what kids are doing online. Now, obviously, there's not enough time for me to share everything with you now. And by the way, it's only being launched at 10. So we are privy to some really good information before they even started the event. So let me quickly give you an overview. This study was conducted by the Center of Justice and Crime Prevention and the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF, as most of us know them, but the South African team. And it forms part of a global research project, and Global Kids Online was also part of this whole big project. And what I was really, really fascinated about in terms of key findings, and I would love to share more about this report later when I've had more time to delve deep into it, but is that they really looked at ages from 9 years and up in terms of kids' behavior. And the demographics is also quite an interesting fact, looking at the different areas. So they looked at the Western Cape and all the different areas in our country. So in the last year, let's look at what they say in terms of how often have you and your family gone without enough food to eat. And out of the people, they said 73% said never. However, if you go look at things like gone without enough fuel to heat your home or cook your food, 79% again. But I wonder, and this is where I look forward to hearing what they say, how many people have actually gone without access to the internet? And in the study, they talk about things like barriers to access and the different regions and the age groups in those regions. So in terms of always having access to the internet, they looked at 9 to 11-year-olds, said 25% of them said they always have access to the internet, whereas 12 to 14-year-olds were more, and as the ages grew, they increased, of course. But what is quite, I don't know if it's alarming yet, I need to go and look at the study in more detail, but what is quite interesting is that, remember, you need to be 13 for most of the platform to be able to use it. I mean, WhatsApp used to be 16, but recently it was changed to 13. Things like LinkedIn used to be 16 or older as well, and it's now 13. So I wonder what the youngsters are doing online, and we can say that YouTube plays a big role. And today's discussion is really going to be a lot about online and digital parenting. So I know many of the listeners might not be parents yet. However, the reality is our parents didn't teach us how to be good digital citizens, right? They taught us how to eat with knives and forks, but they didn't give us the ins and outs. And the whole show, you know, was about social media and how we can use that for our brands. But how do you do that in a positive way? So in terms of the 9 to 11-year-olds, I think it's quite a fascinating group, age group, to look at how will this group transition and go into this new feature and prepare themselves for jobs that don't even exist yet. So I look forward to sharing more with you about this report after this event. And yes, just want to encourage you to travel safely on the cyber highway and yeah, use social media for good. It's such a fun platform. And like today, we are able to communicate with each other because of the wires, because of the internet and the beautiful highway that we travel on. So from me, Rianette, please let us know what your thoughts are. You can catch us at SafetyNet. It's SavetyNet, SafetyNet. Or connect with me on Twitter at Rianette, RIANETTE. And thanks so much for being responsible digital citizens. And yes, thanks so much. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you so much, Renette, for that safety tip. I always feel like we're all in this digital room and I'm always going on about what people should be talking about, what people should be doing. And you come in and you're like, okay, let's do all of that, but let's also just be safe. Thank you so much. It's always great to hear the stuff that you're paying attention to. Now, just to wrap up this entire conversation, I wanted to share where I look to for inspiration when it comes to curating my social media conversations, because I know what authentically appeals to me, but then I go the extra mile and look at how strategically I can then put out content, just understanding when people are on social media, when they'll be intrigued by what I put out, how to put it out. I'll also give you a couple of tools that I use personally. I do all of my social media myself. I hope I can always do this, you know, and I have all the intentions to grow my community, to grow my personal brand, to speak to a larger audience, to speak to more people, not for the egotistical reasons of having big numbers, but for the reason that if the number is big, it means I'm touching more lives and I'm sharing my thoughts with a bigger community. So first place I look for inspiration is a platform called Founder. And I've been sharing this with a lot of people. I don't know if I'm sharing my trade secrets, but listen, I share information all the time. I share ideas all the time. I know that half the people that literally listen to what I have to say never go on to do anything about it. But if you really want to build to find your space within this digital community, to build a following, to create an authentic voice, you can check these people out. The first page I follow on Instagram is called Founder. I also subscribe to all their newsletters, paying attention to what they do and how they do it. It's a great way for me to always find new and different tools that people are using to communicate. There's so much I've found on Founder. They literally, if you go on their website, they even have a ebook, and I'm obsessed with ebooks. I'm going to start writing them myself. I think I should actually create one around this specific conversation and share it with people to just download. I love ebooks because they are not difficult to read, and they normally have like really, really great nuggets of information around topics that I'm interested in. And they're just not long. I found this ebook on the Founder website, and the Founder is spelled without an E, around how to build an Instagram following. And really, it is about strategy versus, they do speak about authenticity. They do speak about some of the things I've spoken about today, which I've seen work for my brand influence on social media. But they also have great examples of people who you can look at, understanding how to analyze how they push out their content. So they are people whose newsletter I read on a daily basis. My favorites, Travel Noir. Travel Noir is a platform that was created by a Nigerian girl who's based in San Francisco. She was one of the Super Soul 100. She was on that list as an entrepreneur, and she has a business. It's a travel business, and maybe I'll use the services for the travel, but I love her platform for how she curates her content as well, how she sends out her newsletter. I really, really am always inspired. It's so crazy that I'm not even inspired so much about the travel stuff, but I'm inspired so much about how she runs her business. She runs a business of 5 people, but she's already crossing over $1 billion a year. It's really inspiring to always look at how different people are doing different things, especially as a business person. Travel Noir, check them out, follow them, subscribe to their newsletter. Always has great information around books that she reads and content that she shares with people. I also look at big media companies for inspiration. I look at their business models. I look at their kind of business plans. And I can do that because I'm a business person. I can always look at how people communicate and see what it is that they value and kind of figure out what their strategy is. But that's because I'm a business person. Look at other business people for help, you know. Ask them how Naspers as a business was built. Ask them how MultiChoice makes their money. Ask production companies how they make profits. Because if you are a media company, believe me, you'll start looking at how you can build content in many different ways and how you can monetize it. And it's a great place to start looking at bigger media companies. And obviously, I already shared Shameless Maya and Gary Vee, who I also look at, and their content is amazing. Now, apps that I use, for the post that I put out, I used to use Wet Swag, which is an app that you can download on Android and social media. And on, I'm sorry, on Android and iPhone, not social media. I got distracted. It's a really cool app if you're still trying to just get stuff done on the go. You haven't really discovered your design personality and how you want to push out content. When I did 30 Days of Awakening, I definitely used Wet Swag. Now, if anyone follows me, I have this new format that I'm using for my codes. I've found a shade of pink that I like, and I've become very, very comfortable with the color pink in association to females. I don't feel it is weak in any form. I really love the way it looks. I'm a very visual person. Aesthetics matter to me. So I found this new format, which I actually picked up somewhere where I'm not going to say, because you guys are going to go there and then you'll see it looks exactly the same thing. I'm creative, but I look at a lot of things for inspiration. So now for the new stuff that I have on my page, I use Canva, which allows me to put that, I can't even call it a watermark, just puts my name there so that when people share my content, then I can have more traffic coming back to me, because then people will know that it was me who put it out. And it's just a way for my content to live beyond my page. Hootsuite I used to use for scheduling, but I kind of am not into it because it kind of is impersonal when you schedule the content. And the last one is where I go for inspiration, I listen to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast. I think they're really inspiring in how they are created, and I hope Balisa listens out to them as well. So make change for people who deserve it. Authenticity matters. And then look at strategy. You don't need anyone to say yes. You're your own media company. Your heroes are the people around you are making change in small spaces who are not so popular. And let your voice speak for itself. And that's how I sign out today. Thank you so much for listening.
Unbranded on cliffcentral.com. Cliffcentral.com.